welcome to today's episode of When Push Comes to Shove. On today's episode, we have the lovely Leslie Ann here, who's going to be telling us all about her birth. Hi, Leslie. Welcome. The floor is yours. Take it away.
Hi. I'm Leslie Ann. I'm 44 now, and I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. I have them rather late in life due to the fact that both my boys are IVF. My first son took 5 years to appear. I had no pregnancies before that, and so he was very, very wanted, very, very wanted. Understandably, I just still didn't believe, I suppose, that I was going to have a healthy baby. So I was a little nervous during the pregnancy. I was like unbelievably happy, but probably a little cautious as well. So I was also quite sick. So I lost quite a lot of weight. So they put me down as sort of high risk because I was losing weight rather than putting it on. So I ended up having a hospital birth. The beginning of the labour was fun in that it was 10 days late. And I woke up in the night and my husband heard well. So we trundled off to hospital. I'd been getting Braxton Hicks. So I didn't know whether they were Braxton Hicks or contractions I was having. And got to the hospital, and they said my waters hadn't broken at all. I just had a really, really massive wee. But that I was in the beginnings of labour. I was 1 centimetre dilated, but nothing much was happening, although I was beginning to contract when I got to hospital. They said, no, calm down, chill out, go home, have a bath, and it'll be fine, you know, and call us when it's actually really happening. Got home, had a bath, all kicked off immediately when I got in the bath. The contractions started coming thick and fast, ended up going straight back to the hospital. But my contractions went on and were really, really powerful, but apparently they weren't very productive. Nothing was really happening. I still wasn't dilating. And that went on for a long time. Most of the night, in fact, I was just on gas and air and nothing was happening. And it wasn't until like about 15 hours later or something, they decided to do something. Because I was begging at that point. I didn't really know what I wanted. I didn't want a C-section. I kept saying that I didn't want a C-section. But they gave me in the end, because I was in so much pain. Turned out my baby was back to back. And the lady who gave it kept on saying this won't help because the pain's in the wrong place. But I think that was the only thing I was offered. So I just took it. I was like, okay, I'll have that. And then it turned out they were waiting for the consultant to come on at 9 o'clock. They didn't really know what to do with me because I was dilating 1 centimetre per hour in the end. It was still going very slow at the end, but baby was getting in distress. So literally the moment the consultant came on, he went, this can't go on anymore, and got me to sign a bit of paper. And because I was just like, I don't know what's, I was just, I was a bit out of it on the gas and air, to be fair. And I signed it and they put me on a trolley, said, we're just going to get this baby out. And I was like, okay. And then, and I said, but you're not going to cut me open, are you? And I think I had the whole room look at me at that point and just go, what? We'd go, like, I was obviously just signed for a C-section at that point. And he said, oh, okay. We will try and pull him out before set. If that doesn't work, if we can't get him out, you're having a C-section. I was like, okay. And they got me in and they managed to pull him out forceps. He was still back to back. They had to pull him out. And that was at 14 minutes past. So it really kicked off at 9 o'clock when the consultant came on and just made a decision. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, obviously, I mean, it got him out healthy. So I was just grateful for that. But I didn't enjoy having the epidural in that I couldn't do anything for the next several hours waiting for it to wear off. And just the aftermath of all of that, really. But I was just grateful that I had a healthy baby and that he immediately started feeding, breastfeeding, and it was beautiful. Okay, cut to the second birth. I wanted a completely different thing. I did not want that mess. I've still, again, lost weight. Was even more sick than the first time. Had to be medicated, but...
Did you have hyperemia?
Yeah, I was still poorly. I don't think they classed it as that. I don't know. I was sick, but I think people must get it worse. I was madly through both of them. I still worked and I was community nurse. So I was just being sick outside people's houses. I just managed to manage somehow. I've been sick up to 11 times a day. So maybe they could ask it as that. They never said the name. I wasn't hospitalised with it or anything. But I knew I didn't want the same. So, and they had this all singing, all dancing, super duper lovely midwife-led unit at Lister, just been built. So it was all clean and beautiful and you got your own room and everything. So I opted for that. And it all happened a lot faster with Joseph, way faster. And I managed to walk in there because the contractions came really quite fast. I managed to walk in and get to the room. And I was a bit more in control in my mind because I kind of knew what was going to happen, I suppose. So I was very much more with my breathing and like, I can control this, it's positive pain. And there's a lot, and chanting and counting and singing. I did sing through the first one. I sang Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and all the wrong words, apparently. But I just felt a bit more in control and I was determined not to lie down and to stay mobile. And he was back to back again. I don't know what it is about my body. So I was in a lot of pain, but I was like, I know that the only way this is going to solve is if I'm moving around. If I'm lying on my back, he's just going to stay where he is. So I was moving about a lot more and gas and air again. And I was very much, I want gas and air, but I will be sick. So they gave me something to stop me being sick so that I could use it. And they said, at one point, it was a very short labour. They said, oh, it seems to be calming down just for a minute. Do you want a break? And I was like, hell no, I'm not having a break. I want this baby, which was probably, in hindsight, not a great decision. I just went, no, I'm having this baby. And I'm just going with it. And I start pushing. they were like, do you want me to run the bath? And I was like, yeah, get the bath run, the birthing pool run. And when it started really coming, but she just went, right, okay, walk over to the bath. And she went, all run, which is what I did. I just legged it because I just dropped the gas and air and legged it to the birthing pool to grab the other gas and air. Somehow did some sort of gymnastics leap into the pool. I don't know how I was doing this. And just got in, and it was bliss. It was just bliss the moment I got in the pool. And then I just had him, and apparently it was my whole labour was 24 minutes in total.
Wow.
I felt something rip when I did that. I probably shouldn't have done that too fast, but I got him out. Oh, it was beautiful. And because it's just so different because there's no crying, is there? It's just so quiet and peaceful. And I was still obviously a little bit high on the gas and air because I just went, oh, there's a baby in the water. I should probably pick it up. And just scooped him up into my arms and just held him. And he just fed pretty much straight away. And it was just, it was so lovely. And of course, my husband got to see it this time. And we got to keep him on the cord for quite a while. I didn't want that cutting straight away. They did unfortunately have to get my husband to cut it because I started to bleed. Mm-hmm. And the pool started looking like it completely filled up with blood. It obviously hadn't, but I started to bleed, so they had to give me an injection. So I had to get out a little bit sooner than I'd hoped, but it was just so quiet and peaceful and beautiful, and I'm sure it's had an effect on my child just going through a nice, beautiful, calm birth. And the joy of it was that the first birth I had to spend on a ward, a busy ward, with lots of other mums that were going through all sorts of things. And then this time I got to have a room to myself and get to sleep because my lovely, beautiful second child knew how to sleep. So I had, yeah, and I had a shower and I felt human. And because it was quiet and because my first child at the time and my second birth had chicken pox and they didn't want me anywhere near him, they let me stay in a second night. And I got a whole second night to myself on my own with my child. And I feel so blessed to have had that because with the second, because I loved my first Freddie so much because he'd been such a blessing, just felt like more of a blessing. I don't know, I just loved him so much. I actually couldn't believe that I was going to love my second child. Mm-hmm. I had real problems with that during the pregnancy. She said to my doctor, can you have postnatal depression while you're pregnant? Because I did have postnatal depression after Freddie. Yeah, I was a bit depressed during my second pregnancy. And I'm like, yeah, you can. So I kind of was like, am I going to love him when he comes out? So I think those nights on my own with just him and nobody else, yeah, for me, had that peace and quiet to really, really bond strongly with him. And that bond is like loopy close. That is just so good now. But I do feel so blessed with both of them. So they were both IVF. They're both from the same cycle, madly. Freddie was born from the first cycle. We managed to free some. And Joseph was born 3 years later from that same lot of embryos. So they are like little twins born 3.5 years apart, which is a bit messes with your mind a little bit if you think about it too much. Do sometimes think if I'd had the second child first, would I have had another one? I'm not sure I would. But yeah. I think it was harder a bit being an older mum because tired, yeah. But grateful that I got them at all, really.
Two very different experiences.
They're polar opposite, aren't they? One was mad and felt out of control and was like so much intervention. They felt like they need, I believe, it's my belief, not anyone else's, is that like you're on that ward. If there is intervention to be given, they feel like they have to give it. Whereas I felt like because I was on the midwife led, they were trying harder not to give me any intervention. And in the end, and do everything as naturally as possible. And it just actually felt better. I did feel personally comforted that I had the doctors there if I needed them, if I could have been rushed somewhere if I needed it. But I was only 15 minutes away from the hospital, so it still could have happened if I'd stayed at home. But it's just my house. I just felt like I'd be looking at mess, stressing about stuff. I fully understand why people do it at home and don't want to be in a hospital, but I've worked in hospitals. I worked in and around hospitals for 15 years. I'm used to nurses. I'm used to the smells. A hospital is actually quite a comforting place to me. So that was not an issue for me, but I totally get that it is for some people. But yeah, the first birth was a bit crazy and the second birth was actually so nice. I didn't have music and candles and things. They tried to put music on and I couldn't take it. I didn't like it. It irritated me. But yeah, and just the control, the breathing makes such a difference. It's crazy, isn't it? How much just and understanding that your body's doing what it's meant to be doing and not letting it get out of control. Because I found in the moment I went, it hurt more. Yeah. It hurt more when I screamed. It made everything hurt and made everything go ooh, out of control. Whereas if you breathe through it and calmly breathe through it, it somehow made it not hurt so much. I wish I'd sort of known more about it, really. I did do NCT the first time, but I read more about like hypnobirthing and everything for the second one. Yeah,
do you think that the birth that you had the first time contributed to having postnatal depression?
It's hard to tell. I don't know. There was a lot of, I suppose, there was a lot of guilt and all sorts of stuff going on. Like it took a while for it to kick in. I think tiredness had a lot to do with it because he didn't sleep at all. Like 20 minutes I got. He didn't learn to sleep 2 hours for 8 months. So I kept saying, I'm not postnatal depressed. Like, I'm tired. I just want to sleep. I felt guilty that I didn't manage to breastfeed straight, like really properly straight away. Well, I did like the first day, but then the first 3 days I got really sore and it didn't seem to be going right. So I felt guilt over that. I felt guilt, yeah, that the birth maybe hadn't gone the way I'd wanted. I felt good. I just felt like I wasn't a good enough mum. I didn't deserve him. There was a lot of mess with that. The second time it went so well, he breastfed like a dream. I knew what I was doing, you know, because I'd done it for 8 months with Freddie. So the second time was just felt easy. I know every child's different, so that doesn't always follow. I was very, very lucky with breastfeeding. I had a lot of milk. I was super lucky. I didn't immediately get postnatal depression with second child, but I don't know whether you want to hear, but I actually fell pregnant very quickly after the second one. I was breastfeeding, had no menstruation. I got to 7 months and just started moaning to a friend that I felt sick and I was really bloated and that I'd been sick that morning. And she's like, you silly woman, you're pregnant. And I'm like, and she's like, when did you have a period? And I'm like, I haven't, I've been breastfeeding. And she's like, yeah, you're pregnant. What? I can't get pregnant. And I did, but I lost that. It was a miscarriage, it turned out. Mm-hmm. I must have got pregnant almost immediately, which is insane. Especially as we had, and we tracked it back, that we let go our frozen embryos that we had left. There weren't many, but we decided we weren't having any more. And we let them go, signed the form to let them go. I must have fallen pregnant pretty much that day.
Wow.
Which was very weird. After 20 years of not being able to have a baby naturally. But yeah, I lost that one. And then because I had to have an operation for that, I then got postnatal depression.
Okay.
Following that, so I was poorly again for quite a long time. Out of my NCT group, there were 8 of us and 5 of us got ill with that. One had very bad time, ended up in hospital, was actually at the point where she thought she had to harm her baby because it was the devil. She was properly ill. But she's got the one child. She didn't want to go for it again because she had a lot of problems. And she's got one girl now, so close. It's beautiful. So the hospitals did help with that. But yeah, just it's amazing how many people get ill, isn't it, really? And how much support they need.
Yes, it really is.
If I hadn't have had my NCT group the first time, I don't know what I'd have done. We were all so close. We needed that. You do. You just need to be able to talk about the mad things and how tired you are. And,
I think,
and that it's not all beautiful.
At the moment with COVID as well, having these sort of groups are, I mean, you know, back then you were able to meet in person. Mm. Now we can't do that. But having that group of women who are all experiencing the same sort of things at the same time is really helpful.
Yeah, because you just think you go mad and you feel like you don't say anything because you're lucky. Well, in my case especially, because I'd spent so long on groups for people who couldn't have babies and who had struggled and everything, I was one of the lucky ones. Mm. And I worked with another girl who couldn't have a child and tried for 12 years. And you just feel like you can't say, you know, and I did tell my doctor that I thought he'd be better off without me and that I was that depressed, and he'd shouted up. It was probably the right thing in that case. Don't you dare say anything like that. You've waited this how long to have this baby? This baby needs you. I was like, okay. Sorry. You just feel like you're doing everything wrong, and it feels like forever when you have the first kid. Mm. Everything feels like it's in slow motion, and every night feels like a year. And then the second one, it whishes by, and you think, what was I worried about? Babies don't do much. They sleep, eat, and poop. They do. You know, I don't know what I'm worried about.
At that time, you had a toddler running around as well, going, you know, so it does put it in perspective, doesn't it? Then baby days, you're like, oh, okay, now I have another child to look after and chase around. This.
They're a lot harder than a baby.
Yeah, baby's the easy bit. We can.
You know where they are when you put them down.
Yeah,
well, I don't know whether it'll help anyone at all, but I think it probably is just believing that you can control it to a point. Don't let it get out of control.
Thank you so much.